Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
A bit of the old Ludwig van.
Hey everybody, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I am Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our podcast and say thanks for listening. I also want to tell you that today is the fourth installment of Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams. That's right, we're counting them down from 10 to 1, and we're getting very close to the big top 2 reveal tomorrow to end the week, but I hope everybody's enjoying it, and if you skipped the podcast, oh well, that's fine. Take a week off. I don't like classical music, Patrick, you jerk. Nah. This has been a lot of fun and hopefully interesting for all who are listening. And I'm trying to certainly make it that way as I count down some of my top classical jams. Today, we're up to number 4 and number 3. And we're going to jump right in today. Number 4, I am choosing Gustav Holst's The Planets. This is a suite, not a symphony. And when I first started getting into classical music, this seemed like a composition that would come up pretty frequently when you started to read about it. And I found this one really easy to get into. It's got very distinct moods, and each section... and, you know, I like planets. Planets are great. The Planets was written between 1914 and 1917. He was busy working during this period, right near the end of the First World War. He was a music director at a girls' school. He was also the music director at a college. So the only time he really had to compose was on holidays or weekends. And most of the other time, he was doing his work. He was on a trip in Spain, on a holiday in Spain, with some friends. And they would gaze at the stars, look at the stars in the evening. And he started to get really into the stars and astrology and astronomy. And he was someone who said he didn't really study anything closely unless he could find music in it. And he... body could find music in this topic. And really, it was the astrology aspect that was the biggest influence on this work, according to most sources. And here's one. The BBC Music had an article about the planets, and I found it very interesting. And this section here kind of confirmed that. It reads, quote, "Holst was not inspired by astronomy, but by astrology. So each movement represents the supposed influence of the planets on human personality rather than their physical characteristics." Very interesting. And he read a lot of books about astrology, too. His daughter, Imogen Holst, wrote that her father had difficulty with large-scale orchestral structure. And that's why he didn't write this in a symphony. He liked the idea of a suite with a separate character for each movement. And that was a big inspiration to him. When he figured out that that could be his format, that was kind of a breakthrough. The structure of the planets is Mars, number 1, the bringer of war. 2, Venus, the bringer of peace. 3, Mercury, the winged messenger. 4, Jupiter, the bringer of jollity. 5, Saturn, the bringer of old age. 6, Uranus, the magician. And 7, Neptune, the mystic. There is no Pluto, because it was yet to be discovered, and Earth is excluded also. I'm going to play for you now an excerpt from performance by Sir Simon Rattle and the Philharmonia Orchestra, and this is from Mars, the Bringer of War.
Thank you.
Day. You can hear in that the intense march structure of the work, and you can definitely see a direct line between movie scores like Star Wars, for example, in those epic scenes that they had in that movie. Here's another quote from the same article from BBC Music. Quote, from the relentless mechanized march of Mars to the ethereal otherworldly fade of Neptune, Holst Planets is a landmark in 20th century orchestral music. And Patrick likes it in one of his top 10 jams. Its influence extends beyond the concert hall, inspiring movie scores, science fiction, and even popular music. Though Holst himself grew weary of its popularity and even a bit resentful of all the attention it cannibalized from his other works, The Planets remains his most celebrated work, an orchestral masterpiece that continues to enthrall audiences over a century after its creation. I'm going to finish up on The Planets with an excerpt from Jupiter. And this one, Jollility, or whatever the title is of this one, it is joyous. And it's interesting because Holst didn't like it when The Planets were performed not in their entirety, when it was broken up into separate sections and not all seven of them were performed. He didn't like that. And though he occasionally agreed to do that or agreed to it happening for financial reasons, inevitably, when the suites were broken up, it was always Jupiter that was played as the finale in order to have a happy ending, send listeners home on a joyous note. He hated this most of all, Holst, and basically said endings aren't always happy. But here, Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams, we're going to go for Jupiter. Okay, folks, there it is, Jupiter from Gustav Holst right there. Now for number three. I'm going not for the fifth, not for the ninth, but from Ludwig van, the Seventh Symphony. That's right, the Seventh Symphony. Probably a little bit lesser known than the other two famous ones that I just mentioned. Composed in 1811, between 1811 and 1812, the Seventh Symphony is one of the composer's most energetic, rhythmically driven works. It's often cited as one that inspires dancing and gets the feeling of rhythm and makes you want to move. And it's a little bit less, let's say, austere and intense than some of the other work Beethoven has done. It's a little bit lighter and a little bit more within kind of established structure. But I don't think that takes away from it in any sense at all. The first time I heard it, I was like, this is different. Is this really Beethoven? It really has something about it that kind of grows on you, and quickly became my favorite. I was once in a record store where they had a mystery bag of records, and I think it was $5 for the mystery bag, and I went over and was feeling all the different mystery bags they had to see which one I wanted to get, and I picked up the one that was the heaviest, and it turns out there was a recording of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony in there, which was cool. So I got one of those on vinyl, which is nice. The work got its premiere in Vienna, Austria, on December 8th, 1813, conducted by Beethoven himself at a charity concert for the soldiers wounded in Napoleonic Wars. Originally, Beethoven, I think, was fascinated a little bit by Napoleon, but later became to really dislike him. And I think wrote some works that were very anti-Napoleon. Even on its first performance, the second movement, the Allegretto, the audience demanded an immediate encore, the first time it had ever been played. It's lively, it evokes movement, and the composer Wagner once remarked that it was the epithesis of the dance. So you can dance your butt off to this Seventh Symphony. The form is the first movement is Poco Sostenuto, Vivace. The second is the Allegretto that we mentioned. Third is Presto, Assai meno presto. And fourth is Allegro con brio. The symphony is scored for two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets in A, two bassoons, two horns in A, E and D in the inner movements, two trumpets in D, timpani and strings. There are stories, legends, that during the very first performance, the premiere, when Beethoven was conducting it, that he was actually leaping into the air on certain sections. And he once remarked that he felt the Seventh Symphony is one of his very best works. And who are we to question? Ludwig van. We're not. One note here. According to the source of all human knowledge, in the program for one performance of the Seventh Symphony, it was written that the Seventh Symphony is a testimony to Beethoven's enduring ability to find energy and hope amidst inner and outer desolation. And as such, it's indispensable. How about a little something from the first movement? Thank you.
right. Lovely.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And finally here to wrap up pick number three in Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams. We'll play out with the famous second movement. Just say it's hard to pick something from Beethoven. I mean, pretty much anything by Ludwig van could have been in the top picks here. I think this one, just for me, is one of my top Ludwig van jams. And I hope you like it. If you haven't heard it, check it out. Definitely gives you something different than the big famous ones that I mentioned. So with that, let's go out with that famous second movement, the Allegretto, the Solemn March, that goes down to the key of A minor. And Ludwig van and his amazing mind will take us out. And with that, get ready. Get ready. Tomorrow, we will wrap it up. Patrick's Top 10 Classical Jams. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Hey, everybody, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Patrick